Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the Hog Slobber Podcast. I'm Doc Harper, and with me as always is Chris Bond from ArkansasSports360.com. Chris, how you doing this evening?
Man, I'm good. It's nice to be back into football again after probably what was a much needed week off for everybody.
What did you do during your bye week?
We had the Miss University of Arkansas pageant. My wife is the director of that, and so I helped her put it on. So I did pageanty things this weekend.
So you spent your weekend around a bunch of pretty ladies, huh?
Yes.
That doesn't sound too bad.
Nah, it's not the worst weekend I've ever had.
Better than the Louisiana Monroe weekend?
Yes.
Okay.
Maybe even better than Auburn weekend.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's a stretch.
Well, hey, it was a win. We'll take our wins, even if they do come against teams that are firing their coach and going 0-8 in the conference.
Yeah, look, at this point, I don't think you can be picky with how or who. As long as Arkansas is getting wins, I think that's a positive thing. So,
let's talk about this for a minute, because there's been a lot of discussion since Arkansas beat Auburn and Kentucky about, you know, how much should Arkansas feel great about it, because these are what's been proven, I guess, at this point to be the two worst teams in the SEC. And my argument is that, yeah, they're a terrible team, but Arkansas won both games by 70-something to 14 margin.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jacksonville State game, just in the first half, they gave up 21 points. So only giving up two touchdowns over the course of two games and scoring as many points as they did. I'm not saying they're a top 10 team or anything like that, but I do think it's clear that they're better and that some sort of light switch went off and there's reason for optimism for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think a lot of people, you have to acknowledge that Kentucky and Auburn are really bad. I mean, mm-hmm. I think you have to put that out there. But I also think the way that Arkansas won those games, as you mentioned, you know, the margin of victory, especially when you compare it to what they did against Jacksonville State and then what they did against Louisiana Monroe and losing that game, you know, getting blown out by A&M and Alabama, I think it's definitely noteworthy that they won, and they won big, especially when you consider how close they appeared to be to kind of packing it in, you know, after the A&M game. So mm-hmm. I think you've got to give this team and this staff a whole bunch of credit for making some changes, you know, for the better.
Right. And now they're actually a favorite going into Ole Miss week. Have you seen the line?
No, I haven't. What is it? Where is it at?
It opened as 4.5, and everybody put their money on Arkansas. Now it's up to, last I saw it was at 6.5. So almost a touchdown.
Yeah, and I think that seems believable to me. Like, I can totally conceive Arkansas being, a favorite in this game. They've got some momentum. They've won a couple games. And on top of that, they're getting, I guess, as healthy as they can be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it looks like Chris Gregg will probably be back this week.
Yeah. Well, he declared on Twitter that he is definitively back.
So
he said that today. I don't know if you saw it, but
I didn't get a chance to see it. But
it was in all caps. He's back.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, it's official then. If it's all caps. I'm afraid, by the way, one of these days we're going to run out of capital letters and exclamation points because of people just get kind of crazy with it, with the all caps. And
I made it my New Year's resolution last year to use fewer exclamation points this year.
That's good, because my wife uses them all. And I told her, I was like, how do we really know when you're excited if everything has an exclamation point? There is no, like, there's no step above the exclamation point to really express your excitement. So, except for maybe all caps.
Well, it's all caps and there's more and more exclamation points. It's like one exclamation point is like, you know, yay, good parking spot. And then, you know, five exclamation points is, hey, we beat Auburn. That's the system I think we have to go with.
Okay, so you just add exponential number of exclamation points. So okay,
right.
So I'm glad. I would put Chris Gregg coming back definitively at like maybe three exclamation points. I think that's big for the team. You know, Tevin Mitchell was back, of course, a week ago, but
right.
you get him another week of practice, another week to get acclimated, you know, to everything and to get his kind of sea legs back, so to speak. So I think it makes complete sense with, you know, with the role Arkansas is on, being at home, having more healthy players. I think it makes sense to see them favored, and I'm glad they are, exclamation point.
I'm glad they're favored. I'm not sure that it's the right thing to happen. The interesting thing with Ole Miss compared to Auburn and Kentucky, everybody still has this Ole Miss stigma where they're not very good, even though people are starting to acknowledge that they're at least better under Hugh Freeze than they have been the last couple of years under, you know, the previous coach, the previous coach now, I guess I should say.
Right.
They're fourth in the SEC in total offense.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to put up numbers. I mean, that's the thing with, I don't know how many Arkansas fans, probably not many, you know, paid attention to Arkansas State last year. But that was one thing that Hugh Freeze's team, you know, was able to do. They set all kinds of records at ASU last year. And you look at that and you go, okay, well, that was the Sun Belt. And those guys were in their second year of running his system because he had been the offensive coordinator the year before. But, you know, the point being, they're able to put up some points. And, you know, Freeze's offense, it's that kind of Gus Malzahn, hurry up, no huddle style.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they're going to, you know, try to stretch the field and attack the edges. And so, I mean, that they have done that this year. You know, their quarterback hasn't been, Bo Wallace has not been, he has not maybe taken care of the ball as much as they would like.
Mm-hmm.
When he's made smart decisions and hasn't turned the ball over, they've been able to move the football. And so I think, and he can run a little bit. So I think Arkansas is going to have to be really careful with this Ole Miss offense this weekend.
It's also a very balanced offense. They have very similar passing yards and rushing yard totals. Jeff Scott has been their clear playmaker for them.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a fun game to watch. I'm really looking forward to this game, actually. I'm not sure what's going to happen. I haven't decided who I'm going to pick yet, but it's going to be a fun game to watch, I think, even if it is at 11:20 in the morning.
Yeah, definitely. I hope people are awake enough to appreciate what we're going to watch. I don't know that it will be, you know, like, I don't think it'll be Texas Tech TCU. It might quite not be that, or, you know, like Oregon, Arizona State or something along those lines. But I do expect, you know, to see some big plays and to, you know, see some offense this weekend. So if you're one of these people, you know, that thinks that 9-6 in overtime is quality football, then you're going to want to see this on Saturday morning.
Not a Big 12 game, but somewhere in between, I guess. Somewhere in between the 9-6 and whatever the Big 12's been doing most of the year.
Yeah. What have they been doing? And I think it's fun, but
it's fun to a point. I mean, I don't like just feeling that every defense is helpless and just, you know, whoever screws up one time on offense loses. I don't like that Baylor has scored 50 points last week and lost, and 2 weeks before that they scored 63 points and lost.
Right. There will be...
To me, if you score 63 points, you should win.
Yes. Yeah, no question about that. And I mean, there will be basketball games this year in the SEC that don't hit 53-50 in triple overtime. I mean, it's wild, man. I'm kind of like you. It's almost like I don't know, I'm trying to think of a good comparison, but it's like maybe cotton candy. Like, it's really good until it's not. You know, you can overload on it, or like Snickers. You know, if you eat like 12 of them, you're going to get a stomach ache, and that's kind of what Big 12 football is right now.
I was thinking like too many Cokes, like not Diet Coke but regular Coke, in a day. As I got used to when I was a kid, I could drink them all the time, but now that I'm older, if I drink one, like, I can't have another one, or else my mouth feels weird.
Yes.
And so, that's just a little restraint. It doesn't seem to be that hard, but West Virginia is paying for it lately. So, who knows
what will happen. Yeah, man, they have fallen off the face of the earth.
But I did some quick math, and hot shot defensive coordinator Manny Diaz has given up 228 points in the last 5 games.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So on our weekly Arkansas Next head coach tracker that we do on expats, I already went ahead and scratched him off. He's at 0% right now. And the only other people at 0% are John L. Smith and Paul Petrino. Oh, and Mario Cristobal, too. I think the four of them. Because they started like 1-7 or something.
I think that's fair. I think you could fairly mark those guys off the list.
I think so. We'll see what Jeff Long's paying attention to later on, I guess. But
speaking of Jeff Long, for the few people maybe that have not had a chance to read this yet, everyone should go to ArkansasExpats.com and find the fake Q&A with Jeff Long. It's
on 360 now too.
It's how would you describe it? It's what Jeff Long wishes he could say. Is that?
Yeah, rough? It started out as what Jeff Long wishes he could say. That's how I thought of it. And then as I've kind of gone over it, it's more like if they did an SNL sketch with of Jeff Long at the Little Rock Touchdown Club. That's probably what it would look more like. It is what I think I would be thinking if I was asked those questions. What I did was I took the questions that that you provided a transcript from the media Q&A on 360, and I was able to piece together a few questions from the fans through Twitter and message boards and other articles, and I just kind of combined that into a Q&A with those exact questions, but with what I think Jeff Long had to have been thinking, or at least, you know, if this was an SNL sketch, this is how he would have answered those questions. So I had a lot of fun writing it, and people for the most part seem to be enjoying it so far.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and it's best I can tell, only one person who read it actually thought that it was Jeff Long. So, there was one guy that was like, I can't believe Jeff would publicly say that he's okay with Bobby Petrino going to another SEC school. I didn't even bother to correct him. I just, you know what? We'll just let this guy believe what he wants to believe.
My absolute favorite people on Twitter and on commenters on articles and things are the literal people.
Yes.
Who take everything literally. I've had tweets before that, you know, get retweeted a bunch of times where people are like, ha ha, that's funny. And then like, there's one guy, I can't believe you would say such a thing.
Right.
That's my favorite guy.
There's always the one guy. And what's incredible is that the one guy on your column on ArkansasSports360.com apparently read the phrase, "We got cash, yo. Fat stacks. We're building buildings. We're not stuck with buyouts like our competitors. Uh-huh. Making it rain, yo." He read that and somehow thought that was actually Jeff Long. That is fantastic. And I got to tell you, I've read this thing probably, I would say in the neighborhood of 10 times. And it has not gotten old yet. This is probably my favorite thing we've ever had.
Well, thank you.
On the website.
I'm glad we put it up there.
Me too.
I had a lot of fun writing it, and we'll see how many more public appearances he does between now and then. I might have to do it again.
That would be great. I'll be curious. Maybe the next time I get a chance to sit down and visit with him, if he or his people thought and maybe what they thought about it.
You didn't get an angry email from him today?
No, not yet.
Okay. I haven't either, so we'll see. Well, I'll have to check my inbox.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Well, and speaking of the coaching search, I mean, that's clearly been something a lot of people have been talking about now pretty much ever since the Louisiana-Monroe game. But I've been doing a head coaching tracker on Expats every week since then. And it's gotten to the point now for me where it's just like some of these coaches seem to be, I think, would be good candidates, but at this point I know all their flaws and every reason why we shouldn't, or why Arkansas shouldn't hire this coach or that coach or that coach, and I don't even know what to do anymore. And I can't imagine what Jeff Long must be feeling, because he's been watching out for this since April.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. What's interesting is we all kind of, a couple weeks ago, Jeff made this comment that, you know, an 8-month head start was just a bad thing. And I kind of laughed at it at the time. I was like, how could it be a bad start? How could it be a bad thing? A head start's never a bad thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But after talking to some ADs who went through the hiring process, and after, you know, every couple of weeks trying to come up with fresh new takes on the coaching search and who mm-hmm. candidates might be and other angles to it, it kind of dawns on me that, yeah, eight months is really a lot of time to spend on a coaching search. I could see where you could get a little fatigued. I think the AD at Arizona, Greg Byrne, described it best. He said when you have a whole lot of time to do research and talk to people and come up with pros and cons, you have what he described as paralysis by analysis.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel for Jeff in that regard, because I mean, if anybody that's ever been to like a restaurant where they have like a really super extensive menu, you know what it's like to be like, all right, I'm gonna have the fettuccine alfredo, but then you're like, ooh, but they also do pulled pork. But oh my gosh, they have, you know, a sweet potato casserole, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh wait, no, peanut butter and jelly, I love peanut butter and jelly. So you continue to talk yourself in and out of things. I'm sure it's a difficult process for him.
Yeah, you had the great post on 360, I guess it was last week, where you had talked to with like four different ADs or something, right?
Yeah.
And it reminded me, in Clay Travis's book on Rocky Top, which was a document of Phil Fulmer's last season in Tennessee, there's a short chapter in it that kind of describes Mike Hamilton's coaching search when he ended up with Lane Kiffin. And he was doing stuff like he was driving to the airport in Atlanta instead of flying out from Knoxville, because... Mm-hmm. Just because of knowing people would see him. And Kiffin had, like, FedExed Hamilton, like, a box of clippings, like, newspaper clippings and stuff, to his house. And, like, he freaked out because he was afraid, like, the FedEx guy would see it and realize that Lane Kiffin had, you know, sent a box to Mike Hamilton's house, and then the FedEx guy's going to go on the message board and... talk about, you know, seeing this package. And it's so intense what they have to go through.
Yeah, it's kind of funny when you hear the stories. And Greg Byrne, really all these guys had similar stories, but, you know, talking to third parties and go-betweens and taking commercial flights and flying out of airports, you know, that weren't local and flying commercial so that nobody would try to track the tail number on the private university planes. And there's a real, like, cloak and dagger element to it. So, you know, if any of these guys had ever wanted to be, if they had ever wanted to be like James Bond or whatever, this is kind of their chance to live that out. Because it is very secretive. And I'm sure, you know, they're probably using burner phones and stuff like that. So it's pretty funny. And then on top of that, everyone in the world, like, wants to be in their ear and tell them, you know, what they think about a candidate.
Mm-hmm.
In the month of September, Jeff got over 150 emails from people pertaining to the football coaching situation. And, you know, there was a guy that worked at like a fraternity consultant who offered to do the job for $40,000 a year, and if he could, if he couldn't get him to a bowl, he would give his money back. And then there was another guy who emailed claiming to be able to get him in touch with, it was one of the out-of-work guys, Brian Billick or Bill Cower or something. I don't know. But, you know, this guy was like, hey, I can act.
I know a guy who knows a guy.
Exactly. You know, it was just like, oh, man. Imagine getting those kind of emails every day.
Well, are there any candidates that you're thinking are probably in the lead right now, or are you just kind of sitting back and watching it all?
You know, I'm kind of sitting back and watching it all. I mean, I don't necessarily know if these specific guys are, you know, in the running at Arkansas, but I mean, I've thought all along Paul Rhodes at Iowa State is a guy you've got to keep your eye on, especially if he can break through and win a couple of those big games this year. They've been close. They haven't done it. And I think Mike Gundy said the other day he thinks that Rhodes should be signed to a 20-year contract at Iowa State because he's done such a great job there. But he's a guy, you know. I mean, I think Butch Jones at Cincinnati, Sonny Dykes at Louisiana Tech. I mean, these are probably guys that if they don't wind up at Arkansas, they're going to wind up somewhere of Cincinnati and Louisiana Tech. I still think if you could get anybody, you know, you'd probably want to get Gary Patterson. So, but who? I mean, who knows if those guys are actually on the list? You know,
Who knows who? It all is on the list. Now, just being a college football fan for several years now, you start to see so many coaches just seem to get hired out of the blue.
Yeah.
That, you know, who knows? I mean, nobody expected Petrino to come to Arkansas. Nobody expected Derek Dooley to go to Tennessee. Nobody expected Gene Chizik to go to Auburn.
Right.
There was actually a big controversy at Auburn because everybody thought it would be Turner Gill, who was at Buffalo at the time. And he was the hot up and coming coach, and I guess that was 2008. So who knows?
And you know, the thing that the interesting thing in talking with these ADs is basically to sum up a coaching search. You do all this work, and I talked to four guys who hired coaches last year, and who have a really good track record with hiring guys, but. Basically, you do all this background work, you reach out to all your contacts, you get 2 or 3 hours in a room with a guy, kind of find out what he's about, have him give you a presentation on how he's going to build your program.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of it all, I thought this was a great quote from Bubba Cunningham, the AD at Tulsa. He said, and then you just hold your breath, hope this person can actually do what you're expecting them to do. I mean... For all the work that goes into it, there's still an element of crossing your fingers and hoping it works.
And like I said, I've gone through every flaw. every week it seems like I do like my gut percentage thing, what I just kind of feel like their odds are. And yeah. every week as I find out more and more, it just seems like everybody just goes down. I mean, you already know the good stuff. That's why they're on the list. So all you find out at that point afterwards is generally not going to be so great. And when you realize they're human and they're not perfect, then my favorite thing that's happened throughout the whole coaching search was on Twitter. Boise State was playing, and of course Chris Peterson is on every school's wish list. And they blew a fake punt.
Yeah.
And there was a guy who tweeted out, and some fan, "Well, I guess we don't want Chris Peterson anymore, huh?" I was like, "Yeah, you're right. That one play totally just invalidates everything else he's ever done." even if he would go somewhere, which he's turned everybody down, so it doesn't look like he's going to go too many places. But even if he was going to go somewhere, you got to rule him out now because his team just blew a fake punt.
Yeah, yep. You just got to cross him off. It's unacceptable.
Can you imagine if he did that at Arkansas? God.
All right.
Well, the other big news that's come out over the bye week was the 2013 SEC schedule, right?
Yes.
And what do you think Jeff Long did when he saw the schedule?
Man, probably cried a little bit and died inside. That schedule's tough. I do want to say this because I actually wrote an entire column about how difficult the schedule is going to be for the new coach, and then some guy came on the website and was like, "Well, it's always difficult." Well, yeah, sort of. swapping Kentucky for Florida doesn't
at Florida.
Yeah, at Florida, and then going to Rutgers to play a team you couldn't beat at home. Those don't seem like real welcoming games for a new coach. So you're going to, and a lot can change in a year, but you're basically, you're going to, three of the top, five?
It could be three of the top five, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's absurd.
Yeah, the closest thing that I can remember like that was that 2009 schedule. But that was only four road games, and it did have Tuscaloosa, Baton Rouge, and Gainesville on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other one was Ole Miss, which Ole Miss was much better back then. But, yeah, there wasn't a cross-country trip to a team that just beat you in your own backyard.
Yeah.
Also tacked on to it, and having a new coach, and having probably a new quarterback. Well, definitely a new quarterback. And
new running backs.
Yeah.
You could be losing two offensive linemen. Yeah, I mean, it's really brutal. I mean, as of right now, and again, Arkansas is a great example of how things can change in a year. But as of yesterday or Sunday when the BCS standings came out, Arkansas is going to number one Alabama, to number two Florida, to number six LSU, and then what else do they have? They go to number 15 Rutgers. They'll get A&M at home, number 20 A&M.
South Carolina.
It seems like there's one more. Yeah, and you also host number 8 South Carolina and number 11 Mississippi State. I mean,
and everybody thought we were going to get Missouri instead of South Carolina.
Right.
So between that and getting at Florida for Kentucky, I mean, that's a two-game swing right there, potentially.
Yeah. So while I do agree that every SEC schedule is going to be difficult, it's not going to be that difficult. So I think I think that's another thing that prospective candidates will weigh slightly. I don't know that that's going to turn anybody off to the job totally. But I do think that's something that people will probably need to keep in mind.
Do you think the reason they're going to another bridge schedule and starting off all the new rivalries and everything is because they're planning on going to a 9-game schedule in 2014?
I think there's a very good possibility that happens. And we've talked about that before. The TV inventory, I mean, all the TV mm-hmm. partners want more games.
More good games.
They want good games. And they want Arkansas. I mean, even who are the two? What are the two worst teams in the SEC? Or what?
Kentucky, Auburn and Kentucky.
I mean, TV would rather have Auburn and Kentucky than Auburn Samford.
Sure they would. The best SEC game this past weekend was Georgia at Kentucky.
Yeah, and nobody expected that to be a game, but people watched, and as soon as people saw it was close, they were flipping over, and they're not going to do that for, Arkansas and Louisiana Lafayette. I mean, that's just not, advertisers don't want to get behind that. CBS and the big networks don't want anything to do with that. So, mm-hmm. I've just thought from the beginning, because of the TV money involved, this was the direction we were all headed. And I think that's what I think that's what another quote unquote bridge schedule tells us.
I think so too. And I think also that with the new 14 playoff that's coming, and what we, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure we've been told the strength of schedule is going to be a significant part of who gets in. And every other major conference seems to be going to a 9-game schedule. Some are already there. And, it just would help end up helping the SEC. I mean, I don't want to make it sound like the SEC isn't always going to be a tough schedule, whether it's 8 or 9 games, but clearly the other conferences are placing themselves in a way that they can keep up.
Right. The SEC can't wind up getting left behind on this deal because right. they have been at the forefront. They've been the trendsetters. They're the reason that the BCS, as we know it, is now being blown up, because they figured out how to use the system to their advantage and consistently get their teams, into the championship game. So if everybody else in the world is going to a 9-game conference schedule, they're eventually going to have to go that direction. And I think they figured out, too, that, they needed to, they needed to expand. And, I mean, they did that. So they're always ahead of the curve.
And every other time they expanded, well, I shouldn't say every time because there are all those situations back 100 years ago, but when they expanded in 1992, they went from 6 to 8 games. And so, and everybody hated the idea of it then, but it turned out to be fine and even a blessing for the conference. So I'm for it. I'm a big proponent of the 9-game schedule. I think and part of it's selfish. I'd like to go to Athens, Georgia as often as I can, but that's just me. I know some people hate it.
How could anybody hate more, road trips and more opportunities to go?
I don't know, some people see good games. I'm all for it. Well, Chris, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
No, man, I think I'm good. Just glad to be back on with you for another week.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I appreciate it.
You bet.
All right. Well, y'all, if you haven't subscribed to the Hog Slobber podcast, you should, so you don't miss an episode. You can do that on the Arkansas Expats iTunes account or on TalkShoe if you do TalkShoe. But thanks again for listening. And if you have any comments or topics you'd like for us to discuss, just send me or Chris a note, and we'll get around to it next week. But until next time.
bigger bagels. Go get it! Thank you, music lovers. Thank you.